याकि संस्मृति बन्धोयम् आत्मनो गुणवृत्तिदा ईतुर्ये स्थितो जय त्यागस्तद्गुणचेतसाम् यर्हि संस्मृति बन्धोयम् आत्मनो गुणवृत्तिदा ईतुर्ये स्थितो जय त्यागस्तद्गुणचेतसाम् यर्हि संस्मृति बन्धोयम् आत्मनो गुणवृत्तिदा ईतुर्ये स्थितो जय त्यागस्तद्गुणचेतसाम् यर्हि वेरस् संस्मृति of material intelligence or material existence. Bandha, bondage. Ayam, this is. Atmana, of the soul. Guna, in the modes of nature. Vrittida, that which gives occupations. Mayi, in me. Turye, in the fourth element. Beyond wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. Stita, being situated. Jaya, one should give up. Tyaga, renunciation. Tat, at that time. Guna, of the material sense objects. Chetasam, and of the material mind. Translation. The spirit soul is trapped in the bondage of material intelligence. The spirit soul is trapped in the bondage of material intelligence, which awards him constant engagement in the illusory modes of nature. But I am the fourth stage of consciousness, beyond wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. Becoming situated in me, the soul should give up the bondage of material consciousness. Becoming situated in me, the soul should give up the bondage of material consciousness. At that time, the living entity will automatically renounce the material sense objects and the material mind. At that time, the living entity will automatically renounce the material sense objects and the material mind. Purport. Lord Krishna now specifically answers the questions that the sages originally placed before Lord Brahma. Ultimately, the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material sense objects and the modes of nature. But because of one's identification with the material body, the modes of nature are empowered to engage one in illusory occupations. By destroying this false identification with matter, the soul gives up the illusory occupations awarded by the modes of nature. It is clearly stated in this verse that the living entity is not empowered to independently free himself from illusion, but must situate himself in Krishna consciousness, in full awareness of the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्य
ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಲೇಟ್ ಟುಡೇ, ಐ ಪ್ರಿಸ್ಯೂಮ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಗಿವ್ ಮೀ ಸಮ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಾ ಟೈಮ್, ವಿಚ್ ಐ ಎನಿವೇ ಟೇಕ್ ಈವನ್ ವೆನ್ ಐ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಆನ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಬಟ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಬೇರ್ ವಿತ್ ಮೀ, ಐ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೋ ವೆರಿ ಲಾಂಗ್. So, we are discussing from Canto 11, Text 13, the Hamsa Avatara answers questions. Now, what's happening essentially in this chapter is that Lord Krishna is answering the questions of Uddhava. The samvad or the conversation between Lord Krishna and Lord Uddhava is going on at the highest level. And there are some sub-components of that, some sub-discussions which are happening under the umbrella of that basic discussion. Now, Uddhava has apparently asked Lord Krishna to explain to him the mechanism by which the jiva, the conditioned soul, gets trapped under the three modes of material nature. Not only that, Uddhava is also asking the Lord, though I am trapped like this in the three modes of material nature, how do I cultivate renunciation? So how the jiva gets trapped, A, and how to get renunciation, B. These are the two subject matters of discussion. This is the question which Uddhava has asked Lord Krishna. So in his reply to Uddhava, to these two questions, Lord Krishna is taking a subroutine program, IT language, you know, whoever is IT will understand. He's branching out. And then he is discussing that a similar discussion had happened earlier. Now the context of that earlier discussion was, the Kumaras, who are none other than the sons of Brahma, asked the same questions to Lord Brahma, to their father. And though Lord Brahma is the secondary creator of this material world, he himself was unable to answer this. He is dealing day in and day out with this matter. But still, he was unable to answer this question of how to get out of this cycle, how to get out of this condition like that. So Lord Brahma, since he was not very pleased with his own reply to his sons, he took shelter along with his sons of Lord Krishna to seek the answer. And Lord Krishna then came in front of them as the Hamsa Avatara or the Swan Incarnation and then answered these questions. So whatever samvad happened between the Hamsa Avatara and Lord Brahma and the sages, Lord Krishna is telling Uddhava now. So that is what is happening in this series of chapters. So essentially Lord Krishna tells that when I came as the Hamsa Avatara, and I enlightened them on three subject matters. One is the self. Who is it that we are originally? What is the original self? On the state of consciousness of the original self before and after conditioning, number two. And number three is how to get back to that original pure consciousness. So these are three subject matters. So in today's discussion, what we are going to discuss, we have split this into two parts essentially. The first part is going to be pretty metaphysical and technical. So those of us who haven't finished our rounds and who also don't have too much of liking for metaphysical kind of philosophy can finish your rounds in the courtyard if you want, because some of you may find little bit boring the metaphysical part of this philosophy. And then the second half is going to be a little bit nectarian.
because then we are going to discuss some pastimes. Okay. So if you like only pastimes and not philosophy, then you can take a call how you want to. But if you can sit through both, then that will be very nice. So we have taken this discussion from, I have taken notes from Lord Kapiladev's discussion with Devahuti to understand the metaphysics of existence. Lord Kapiladev, as most of you know, is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appeared in the womb of Devahuti. So Devahuti was his mother, and the samvad, the conversation, is happening between the son and mother. The son is a highly realized person, none other than Supreme Personality of Godhead, instructing the mother in Krishna consciousness. I have also taken some references from Srila Prabhupada's book, Our Original Position, where Srila Prabhupada says how we fell down from the spiritual world. So the essence of whatever is happening, you know, in both these conversations is, Srila Prabhupada says that the soul originally had a desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. So we may be knowing this, we have heard this hundreds of times. Okay. So for the 101st time, the soul had a desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. And that is the reason for creating the material world. Now the Srimad Bhagavatam has got a total of 12 cantos and an elaborate description of this metaphysics of how the world was created, how this universe was created, whether the chicken came first or the egg came first, which no science can answer even till today. All this subject matter is mentioned in the second and third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So one day, during the question and answer session in Srimad Bhagavatam class, there was one interesting question. Somebody, one of the devotees asked, and this person asked that I am interested only in the pastimes, sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So is it really required to understand all this metaphysics, to understand how the cosmos came about and discuss, you know, the physical aspects? So, or do I really need to just know the gist of it? Just chant and be happy, that's all. And, you know, discuss only sweet pastimes, like Lord Krishna's pastimes, you know, which drowned everyone, inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. Is it not enough to discuss this? Why do I have to go through the rigmarole of going from canto 1, canto 2 and all, you know, knowing all these metaphysics and then coming to that eventually? So this question has been answered by Srila Prabhupada in several places. In several purports, Srila Prabhupada, you know, belabors this point. More so ever, in Srila Prabhupada's purports to the Sankhya Yoga section in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the discussion between Kapila Muni and Devahuti. Srila Prabhupada says in those purports that one must develop a healthy respect for the Godhood of God. Initially, devotional life has to start with awe and reverence and respect for the Lord. Directly, if one goes into the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, into the intimate pastimes of Lord Krishna with Radharani, or the sweet pastimes in Gokula, there may be a tendency of the conditioned soul to think that Lord Krishna is an ordinary person. He is just running around here and there like a baby. And then, or he is just enjoying some pastimes with his girlfriends. So this is something, you know, which we do on Friday night here. So the conditioned mind has got a tendency to equate that pastimes in the spiritual world with this pastimes in the material world. So therefore it is very important to understand who Lord Krishna is. So initially, devotional life, it's always safe to begin devotional life. It's recommended by the acharyas to begin our devotional life with the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, whose foundations are in looking at the Lord with awe and reverence. Now, how does this awe and reverence build up? This awe and reverence will only build up if we know the greatness of God. If we know that Lord Krishna is the creator of this entire universe and what all goes into this creation. Unless we know this at a very, at least a high level, then we will not be able to generate this awe and reverence for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we may take him for granted. This is number one. The second reason why we must know this Sankhya philosophy is, Srila Prabhupada says that the conditioned souls have to develop the correct discrimination between matter and spirit. We have to know the difference between matter and spirit, otherwise we cannot cultivate detachment from matter. Unless we clearly know what is matter and what is spirit, how will we know what to get detached from?
So Srila Prabhupada describes this as Hridaya Granthi Abhedanam. Hridaya Granthi Abhedanam means cutting the ties of the soul to matter with the sword of knowledge. So that is Sankhya Yoga.
So these are the two reasons why one must study this metaphysics of creation.
And this metaphysics of creation is not like the mundane physics which is taught in the universities just to get us a PhD degree and a job with some company. This is not that kind of a metaphysics.
Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna, especially for Kali Yuga. And it describes the interaction of the Lord with his various energies. So understanding the subject matter of Sankhya philosophy is the first component of spiritual knowledge. And that's why Lord Krishna, even when he was discussing the Bhagavad Gita with Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what is the initial knowledge that Lord Krishna, what did he start with? Which knowledge was that?
That knowledge was Sankhya Yoga. Pardon?
Yeah, it was Sankhya Yoga. The words, Dehino Asmin Yata Dehe Kaumaram Yavanam Jara. That's not the highest philosophy. The highest philosophy is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. And then the essence of all philosophies is taking shelter of the devotees in Vrindavan. That is the highest philosophy. But directly Lord Krishna is not coming to that topic. He is starting with Dehino Asmin Yata Dehe and explaining the entire metaphysics, you know, in a gist in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So therefore it is very important that we must understand this before we move into the subject matters of the other higher aspects of Bhakti Yoga. Yoga means to connect. It comes from the word yuj, as most of you know. And if we don't understand this difference between matter and spirit, we will not be able to disconnect ourselves with matter and connect ourselves therefore to the Supreme Spirit. And when we don't have adequate knowledge of this Sankhya philosophy on how this universe was created, then that leads to speculation in this world. That's why we have all these theories, Big Bang theory, Small Bang theory and whatever. Or some of these bogus philosophies which says that man evolved from monkeys. Some monkeys are sitting on the tree and some monkeys are working in the corporate world. Incidentally. So these bogus philosophies, all these philosophies is a result of not studying the Sankhya philosophy section of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the importance. So with this background, we must understand that how this whole universal creation happens. And I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. It is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the genesis of matter lies in a substance called as Pradhan. Pradhan, therefore, is the primeval cosmic substance, the first cosmic substance from which everything eventually came. So His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu, I was taking some notes from Bhurijan Prabhu's book, Unveiling the Lotus Feet. So in that, Bhurijan Prabhu has written that this Pradhan can be defined as the primal, most subtle form of matter. We know the gross forms of matter. How? This microphone. It's a gross form of matter. Though actually we don't consider this as material because now it is in the temple, it's being used in the service of Krishna. So therefore this is considered as an expansion of Lord Nityananda. But from a metaphysical point of view, this is made of matter. But if you go back, how this microphone was created, where this plastic came from, then you'll say it came from some resin. Where did that resin come from? That resin came from some original polymer. And then where did that come from? And then you go down to the earth. Then where, who put that in the earth? Where that came from? And if you go behind like that, then you'll say all this is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then you'll say where did earth, water, fire, air, ether came from? And then you go higher and higher levels. The point at which you, the original substance that you will hit, that substance is called as Pradhan. So it is matter in its most subtle form. But Gurujan Prabhu also writes there that this Pradhan should not be confused with Brahman. Brahman is different and Pradhan is different. Brahman is the effulgence which comes out from the body of the Lord. And Pradhan is a subset of this particular Brahman. In fact, it is mentioned that Pradhan is called as Saguna Brahman. There are two types of Brahman. Nirguna Brahman and Saguna Brahman. Nirguna means what? Nirguna means that which does not contain any material qualities. In India, sometimes the Mayavadis argue, the Lord does not have a form. He is Nirguna Nirakar. They'll argue. Bala Prabhu was telling me last week, one person in his office was arguing this. Nirguna Nirakar. Now people don't understand what is the meaning of that Nirguna. That Nirguna doesn't mean not having qualities. That Nirguna means not having material qualities. So Nirguna Nirakar. And Nirakar means not that the Lord does not have a form. It simply means that the Lord does not have a material form. His form is different than the material form. So Nirguna. Now this Brahman is called as Saguna Brahman. Pradhana is called as Saguna Brahman, not Nirguna Brahman. Nirguna Brahman originally is completely pure. But when this Nirguna Brahman comes in the contact with the three modes of material nature, then that same substance is called as Saguna Brahman or Pradhan. So this Pradhan is the primeval cosmic substance from which everything else emanates. Of course, now if you say where is the source of Brahman, then that we know. Sri Krishna is the Sarva Karana. So everything that way comes from Lord Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that everything is Brahman at the end of the day. Brahman is all pervading in the universe. But in one corner of the spiritual sky, there is a dark cloud which is called as Pradhan. So this is that Pradhan you are talking about. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that Prakriti or matter comes from Pradhan. So Pradhan can be defined as unmanifest matter, also called as Saguna Brahman. Now this Pradhan contains within itself the three modes of material nature and the 24 elements that are needed for creating the for creating this material world in its unmanifest state. So now we define what is Pradhan. The second step is Pradhan contains the three modes of material nature and 24 elements. Now what are these 24 elements? The 24 elements are the five gross elements. What are the five gross elements? We all know. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Five gross elements. And then there are five subtle elements. These five subtle elements are color, then smell, taste, the power of hearing, the power of touch. So all these are five subtle elements. And then there are four internal subtle senses. Those subtle senses are called as Chitta, Mana, Buddhi and Ahankar. Chitta means consciousness. Consciousness in the material mode of goodness. Not that consciousness which is above the material modes of goodness. Chitta, then mind, Man. Buddhi means intelligence and Ahankar means false ego. So mind, intelligence, false ego and consciousness which is colored by the modes of goodness. So these are the four internal subtle senses. Then there are five knowledge acquiring senses. The eyes, the mouth and so on and so forth. The skin. And then there are five outward organs of action. Which is the hands, the two hands, the two legs, the genitals, the evacuation organs and the mouth from where we speak. So these are the 24 elements plus the three modes of material nature form what is called as Pradhan. Is it clear so far? I hope it's not too confusing. Now, besides these 24 elements, there is a 25th element. And that 25th element is the mixing element which mixes everything together. You know, I sometimes give this example in the Bhakti Virksha program. That, you know, when my wife went to Mayapur Yatra 2 years back, then I was left alone at home. And the last thing that I know in this world is cooking. I have nothing to do with the kitchen, although I am making some attempts now. So, even though my wife makes idli batter and then goes, okay, but I don't know what to do with that idli batter eventually. That is the problem. She has kept everything ready. All the ingredients are kept in the fridge. Everything is there. But still, because I don't know the process of mixing those things, I am still not able to generate anything meaningful out of it. So I just stand at the idli batter and I have to call somebody else. Can you please come now and assemble these things and make some dosha and give me. So some devotee, you know, kind devotee comes and helps me like that. So this 25th element is the mixing element. And that mixing element is defined as Kala or time. So it's not enough that all these elements exist. Something has to mix all these elements. And then the other, higher than this, is the process which tells you how to mix these elements. So therefore,
Srila Prabhupada writes
that the 25th element or the mixing element is called as time, and this time is referred to as Hari Chakra, Kala Chakra. It's the weapon that controls all the activities in the material world. Including, sometimes we can't relate how time controls all the aspects in the material world. But simple example, why does our boss get upset with us in office? Because of time, right? Because we have projects, right? And then we have fixed price projects, right? He's working in the same company, two Infosys people are here. So we have fixed price projects. So already the company has decided, the boss has decided, now how much time is there for this project. Now, regardless of the work going up or down, you still have to complete it within that time. And when you are not able to complete that, then that is the reason for all anxiety, stress, firing, motivational techniques. Everything in this world is therefore controlled by time. People get agitated, all activities go on because something has to be finished on time. So this time controls all our lives. Time is the reason for the decay of the material body. The body slowly starts dwindling and decaying, and eventually death happens. So this is that time which we are talking about. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse, there is an interesting verse. It says, Ayur harati vai pumsam udyan ashtam cha yan aso tas yate yat shano nita uttama shloka vartaya. It says that by every rising and setting of the sun, we are one step closer to death. So that is the power of time. So time has a destructive influence in this material world. But for devotees, it is said, tas yarte yat shanonita utsama shloka vartaya. But for devotees who are engaged in dedicating their lives to the worship of Krishna, time is little bit merciful on us. Like that. But time has got one good quality. For us specifically, time helps us surrender to Krishna quickly. Time tells us now, old age is coming. Quickly move to 16 rounds, take shelter of spiritual master. Like that. Or for the young people, who think that old age will come and then they will do. For them, time reminds that death can come any time. It doesn't have to wait till old age. So time is very merciful in that sense. It keeps us reminding of the need to surrender quickly. Now, this is the time is therefore the 25th mixing element. Now, each internal sense, which we discussed earlier, we discussed about the internal senses, which is ahankar, mana, buddhi and chitta. We talked about that. Each internal sense is governed by a specific expansion of the Lord. We have heard of the Chaturvyuha expansions of the Lord, right? Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. Now, there is a relationship between the four internal elements and the presiding deity. It is mentioned that ahankar or false ego, we must overcome our false ego by worshipping Shankarshan amongst the Chaturvyuha. Through the worship of Lord Shiva, we worship Shankarshan. That's how we overcome ahankar. Mind can be controlled by the worship of Aniruddha through worship of the moon planet. Buddhi has to be controlled, intelligence has to be controlled by worshipping Lord Pradyumna, by worship of Lord Brahma. And consciousness or chitta has to be purified by worshipping the super soul or Lord Vasudeva. Therefore, this consciousness by which we purify the process by which we purify our consciousness through devotional service, at the end that consciousness which comes about as a result of the purification is also therefore called as Vasudeva consciousness. So far we discussed what is Pradhan, and then the fact that Pradhan has got 24 material elements, 25th element is the time factor, we discussed that, and then we also discussed that this coexists along with the three modes of material nature. Now, despite all these elements now remaining in the mixed condition, now everything is mixed, time has already mixed everything, but still there is no life. Simply by mixing doesn't mean life has come till now. Life has not entered the material world, the universe till now. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that the 25th element which is present here is with that gives life to everything is the super soul. So this time is not enough. There has to be the presence of super soul such that everything gets life. Srila Prabhupada says life comes from life and movement of matter also comes from life. So there has to be spirit behind the movement of matter. For example, the scientists may be able to conclude that the smallest particle is the electron. Electron, is it correct or no? Electron or atom? atom. Okay. So now within, I forgot. Okay, within that there is a nucleus and then there are electrons which are revolving around that. Now the question is, where do the electrons get the power to revolve around the nucleus? Who created that power? Is there a battery inside every atom which some, you know, corporate company is controlling movement of every atom? No. It is happening automatically. Now, automatically is not a scientific explanation. It's a sentimental explanation. Right? So, what is the scientific explanation? So, it is mentioned that the power to move the electrons around the orbit, that is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul. Now, all these material elements are there. Time has entered, right? But now life has not sprung up. So, life comes into this material world through the glands of Mahavishnu. So there is Pradhan along with all these elements, and Mahavishnu glances at this Pradhan. And that glance is called as Virya or semen of the Lord. Virya. So through that glance, Mahavishnu agitates this Pradhan. And this Pradhan now is known as Mahat Tattva. So Pradhan in his inert state is called as Pradhan, and when it is activated by the glance of Mahavishnu, it is now becomes Mahat Tattva. And by this glance, not only is the Pradhan agitated into Mahat Tattva, but countless of souls which have a desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, which are inside the body of Mahavishnu, are released into this material world through the glance of Mahavishnu. So far so good? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adi Leela 5.69 in his purport, that the transcendental molecules, Srila Prabhupada is using a very scientific language here, the transcendental molecules of that glands are particles of spirit or spiritual atoms which appear in different species of life according to the seeds of their individual karma from previous cosmic manifestation. So whatever our desires were because of our previous karma, now according to that desires, Lord Mahavishnu releases us into this material world. So Srila Prabhupada writes that forsaking their true identity, the true identity of a jiva is what? Jivera Swarupe Hoy Nityara Krishna Das. We are originally part of the spiritual world. So forsaking that true identity, that we are servant of the Lord, the jivas are impelled by their desires, material desires, to take shelter of the illusory realm of matter. And Srila Prabhupada writes, to survive in this daldal, what is the English word for daldal? To survive in this mess of the material world, the jiva has to take a false identity. It is required. Otherwise, we cannot survive in this material world without the false identity. So, Mahavishnu by his glance agitates the Pradhana, and now the Pradhana has become Mahat Tattva. You can come here in front and sit. Maybe some of you can move forward so people who are entering can sit. So now we have the Mahat Tattva, and all the elements are existing within that. The three modes of material nature are already within that. Time is there. Now, false ego is also present inside this Mahat Tattva. We mentioned Man, Buddhi, Ahankar. Now what happens after this, the next stage is, this false ego starts interacting with this material modes of nature. By the glance of Mahavishnu, when Pradhan is activated into Mahat Tattva, the false ego starts interacting with the modes of material nature. So, the false ego, when it comes in contact with the mode of goodness, there are three modes of material nature. Mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance. False ego plus the mode of goodness generates the mind and the demigods. False ego with the mode of passion generates the intelligence and the active and knowledge acquiring senses. And false ego, when it interacts with the mode of ignorance, then sound, ether, and the senses of perceiving sound, they come. So sound comes first. When false ego interacts with the mode of ignorance, what's the first thing that comes? Sound. Now this is a very important point to remember even spiritually. Forget about metaphysics. Sound comes first when false ego interacts with the mode of ignorance. Now the genesis of sound lies in a substance called as ether. Out of earth, water, fire are ether. Sound is associated with ether. It's only through ether that sound is perceived in this material world. And that ether manifests first. It's not the other elements in the Mahat Tattva. So from either comes air, then comes the sense of touch, then comes form, the eyes, and then fire, then water, and then finally earth. This is the sequence in which it comes. It is not important to remember the sequence, but it is very important to remember that the first here is sound. That is most important to remember. So Srila Prabhupada says therefore that sound is the origin of all objects of material possession. And with this sound, everything is created, and with this sound itself, everything is annihilated as well. Destroyed. And this sound is called as Shabda Brahman. Our entanglement, Srila Prabhupada writes interesting purport. He says, our entanglement in material affairs has begun from sound. For example, few days back, one of the devotees, they delivered a baby, few months back, they delivered a baby child. And when we went, the child was in the cradle. Okay, and then there was one toy which was hanging, you know, from top. And then it was making a nice sound. Ting, 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 ting. Nice sound was being made. And then the baby was looking at it and laughing very nicely, right? This is sound. The child cannot understand anything, but the child can understand sound. And through sound, even the child starts getting attachment to the toys of this material world. And eventually the child starts crying for toys. Daddy, I want that toy, this toy. That is the beginning of attachment in this material world. That happens through sound, the ting-ting sound. So, Prabhupada writes that the sound is the one which begins our entanglement with the material world. But Srila Prabhupada says that this is the very same sound that delivers also from this material world. But that sound is the transcendental vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So sound binds and sound liberates too. So these newly created items, whatever is now lying here, remain separately in the Mahatattva existence. The Lord then enters each and every universe. When Mahavishnu breathes, then there are countless of universes which comes out from the pores of his body. Now this Mahavishnu now enters into each and every universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Okay? Or Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is also called as the super soul of the universe. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the universe. There are two super souls. One super soul is the super soul of the universe, and one super soul is the super soul which multiplies into each and every living entity. The super soul of the universe is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then the super soul which is there in your heart, my heart, his heart, your heart, and all our hearts, that super soul is called as Sirodakshaya Vishnu. So Mahavishnu breathes out universes, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the universe, and Sirodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul inside all living entities. And when Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters and Sirodakshaya Vishnu come in, Sirodakshaya Vishnu enters into each and every atom, not only inside your heart and my heart, but Sirodakshaya Vishnu enters into each and every atom in this material universe. And that now explains how the electrons, where the power of the electrons to revolve around the nucleus comes from, which no material science has explained till now and will never be able to explain without Shastras. Now Garbhodakshaya Vishnu having come into the universe, there are 14 planetary systems which stem from his navel. We all know that, right? Now, these 14 planetary systems is referred to as the universal form or the Virat Rupa of the Lord. So the Virat Rupa manifests as the 14 planetary systems. Now this Virat Rupa, if you know, many of us know about the Virat Rupa because we have seen Ramanand Sagar, what is that? Chopra, who produced the Mahabharata on television in India? B.R. Chopra. So we have seen that serial, and then we have seen that, you know, the Vishwarup universal form is so huge, and then so many, all demigods are there, all, everything is there inside that. Rakshas are there, the tongues are coming out, and you know, something is being swallowed inside, something is coming out, from somewhere fire is coming out. So many things put together are there in this universal form. So it is mentioned, yesterday I was trying to understand this, and Burijan Prabhu has very nicely described this. He says that the demigods who are in charge of each and every sense organ. Now we have various sense organs. Sometimes in my childhood, my mother used to say that, you know, you will have a leg problem. She saw my horoscope and said you will have a lot of problem in your leg, in your future, because some Ketu problem is there for you. So therefore you must worship Ketu. You must do Ketu puja or something like that. Rahu Ketu, like that. And actually I am having that problem today. Okay, but of course, thankfully we are in Krishna consciousness. So we are addressing Ketu through Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Watering the root. So the point I'm trying to say is that the demigods, there are demigods who are responsible, who are in charge of each and every organ in our material body.
So it is mentioned, the demigods in charge of each sense organ, they accept their respective positions in the universal form of the Lord.
They take some positions. You here, Agni here, Vayu here, Ketu here.
So all these people are taking positions in the universal form. And then when they, after they take positions, then mind, intelligence and false ego manifest. And all this mind, intelligence, false ego, all these elements completely cover the soul and make the soul forget about Lord Krishna. So many elements are there. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Cheto Darpana Marjanam in the Sikshashtakam verse. By the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we'll have to undo and wash off all these layers which have made the soul forget God. Then after these demigods take charge of the individual positions, then Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva as the controllers, they also appear. And along with these, some prototype demigods also try to appear along with them. And then they together try to awaken this universal form of the Lord. Right now the universal form is also there, but the universal form is sleeping. He has to be awakened. Okay. So all these demigods are now trying their best to awaken this universal form of the Lord. But the universal form of the Lord does not move. So it is mentioned, finally, when the Chaitya Guru, the presiding deity of consciousness, which is Vasudev, when the Chaitya Guru entered the heart of this universal form, then this universal form awakened and a gigantic being rose from the waters, and that is the entire manifestation of this material world. So Srila Prabhupada writes a very interesting comment here. Srila Prabhupada writes, when a man is sleeping, because our verse talks about sleep, wakefulness, dreaming. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes, when a man is sleeping, all his material assets, namely the vital energy, the senses for recording knowledge, the senses for working, the mind and the intelligence, cannot arouse a person who is sleeping. He can only be aroused when the super soul helps him to awaken. So here we see that that Lord Vasudeva awakened the universal form. The demigods could not. So Kapil Dev therefore concludes that therefore, though through devotion, detachment and advancement in spiritual knowledge, which is acquired through concentrated devotional service, one should contemplate this super soul as present in this very body, although simultaneously apart from it. Essentially what Lord Kapil Dev is saying, this super soul therefore is very important. So we have to listen to the voice of this super soul. If we don't listen to the voice of this super soul, we will not have any chance of escaping this entrapment inside this material world. Lord Brahma, when he manifested on the lotus flower of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, initially Lord Brahma was very very confused what to do. If you remember, I gave that example of idli batter. Okay, I had no clue of what to do with the idli batter because I don't know cooking. I don't know how to make dosa or idlis from idli batter. Right. So similarly, Lord Brahma was sitting on the lotus flower. He had all these ingredients. He could see everything, all these elements, but he didn't know what to do with it. So then what happened? Lord Krishna travelled through the 14 planetary systems, through the stem of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, trying to find out where is the genesis of this, who is the personality that I can ask this question to. But even after travelling, he could not find Vishnu. And therefore he came back to the lotus flower, and then when he was sitting, he heard a sound, as Narasimha Kavach Prabhu was saying yesterday. What was that sound? Tapa. Tapa. That sound was the waters in the Garbhodaka ocean, which was making that noise, hitting against the banks. So this tapa, so Brahma understood that by astral travel, I cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many people think by sending rockets to the moon, you know, they say, just find out whether God is there anywhere on top there. But we have hardly crossed, you know, we have not even come to the moon. Even the Chandrayaan mission could not actually, you know, stay there for long, it had to come back. And we are talking about the entire universe and millions of universes. So by astral travel, we cannot find out Lord. So Brahma tried it by going down, but he could not. Therefore, he sat on the lotus flower and started meditating. When he started meditating, at that time then, the Lord revealed himself. So this is what Srila Prabhupada writes, that without tapa or austerity, we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what are the conclusions? We have come to the end of this metaphysical discussion. I know it was a bit, you know, too much, but the good news is it's over. What are the conclusions from these metaphysical descriptions that we need to understand? What is the take-home message today? One is, neither matter nor the intricate functions of this body can cause consciousness.
Rather, consciousness can be aroused only by the presence of the super soul. And that's why when the soul, super soul and soul leave the body, that body is called as a dead body. Life comes from life. We need to understand this. Life doesn't come from matter. And life, and to be more precise, life comes from Krishna. This is the first understanding. The second understanding is, Brahma is only the secondary creator. The primary creator is Lord Krishna. He has already given all the ingredients. My wife has already given me that idli batter. He has already made everything. All I have to do is assemble and make dosa and eat. That's all. So Lord Krishna had already given all these ingredients. Brahma, what he did? He only then assembled it, and the assembly process knowledge also was given by Lord Krishna only to him. So Brahma is only the secondary creator and not the primary creator. The primary creation is called as Sarga and the secondary creation is called as Visarga. So Brahma is in charge of Visarga. Second point. Third point to remember is, owing to the desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, the soul gets covered by this matter. And these coverings are generated by the interaction of the three modes of material nature with the false ego under the influence of time. So this we saw in detail. And the fourth, which is the conclusion, is this consciousness which is now polluted, which is covered by all these elements, complicated elements, including Krishna consciousness, can be awakened only with the help of the super soul. Now what is the practical understanding of this super soul? Okay, it's enough to, you know, say that, okay, we have to now understand the super soul within our heart. But what is the practical thing that we need to do? It is mentioned in the Shastras that this super soul or Paramatma is the Chaitya Guru. And this Chaitya Guru will lead you to your spiritual master in this material world. So through Chaitya Guru, we get our Siksha Guru and our Diksha Guru. So we start coming to the temple, we start chanting initially the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We are on what is called as the probation period in Krishna consciousness. And then through the process of chanting, Lord Krishna is very impressed. Okay, this person is coming to the temple. He is showing genuine interest in Krishna consciousness. He is obeying the basic instructions, which is chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles. Therefore, this person is a bona fide seeker. He is genuinely seeking me. And now I will guide him to a genuine spiritual master in disciplic succession. And then this knowledge is given by Lord Krishna. And through the Paramatma, then our spiritual master is revealed. When Paramatma reveals the spiritual master, then we start the process of hearing and chanting. Okay? And when the spiritual master gives us this mantra, he invests all potency into this Mahamantra. And then we start this process of chanting, then Cheto Darpana Marjanam. All this cleaning process happens in the background. And that is how we go back to Godhead. So, the metaphysics of how we got trapped and the simple solution of how to go back by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the summum bonum of the instruction which the Hamsa Avatara gave to Lord Brahma, okay, and the Kumaras. So, this month we were talking about tapa. Tapa means austerity. Now, today is a very auspicious month has started, the most auspicious month in the calendar year, which is the month of Kartik. And this Kartik month is the best month to add things to our tapa or austerity list. This Kartik month, the presiding deity of Kartik month is Srimati Radharani herself. And Srimati Radharani is most merciful during this month. So any small thing that we add to our Krishna consciousness will yield very high benefits. For example, people who have not come to 16 rounds can come closer to 16 rounds. If you are chanting 4, at least you can now try to chant 8 from this Kartik month. If you are chanting 10, you can move to 12 or 13. If you are chanting 12, then you can move to 16 rounds. Those who have in 16 rounds can do 18. Those who are in 18 can increase to 20 and so on and so forth. So this can be something which we can do. Or we can say that, okay, I am going to study the scriptures. I am going to study Bhagavad Gita very systematically. Some small thing we have to do for the Lord. Or I am going to take some services, additional service in the temple from this month onwards. So little bit something which we do, which may initially be with, have a little bit of discomfort for ourselves. But we have to go through that discomfort for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. If we do that, then it yields lot of benefits. In my own personal experience, till last year I was chanting 16 rounds. Last year, you know, I increased my rounds to 17. And at that time, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj was also not well. If you remember, during this time only it happened. And then all devotees said, no, can we chant for him? Then I used to start chanting one extra round per day for, you know, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. And then it just remained with me. So now, you know, by Lord's mercy, then sometimes we are able to chant more than 16 rounds. And in this Kartik month, then we can take a vow now to increase from whatever rounds that we are chanting to something more. But we have to take some vow. So let us take this opportunity today to take some vow in front of Srimati Radharani, something extra that we will do in Krishna consciousness. So that is about the Kartik month. Now today is the, now we'll go for just another 5-7 minutes and then we'll wind up. So now we are going to discuss the pastimes of Srila Murari Gupta. Today is the disappearance day of a very great Acharya whose name is Murari Gupta. So just very briefly, few things about Srila Murari Gupta for the pleasure of Shri Shri Radha Vallabha. Now Srila Murari Gupta, as most of you know, was an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there are some very sweet pastimes which happened, which we will talk now. It's not going to be as heavy as the metaphysics part which we discussed. Srila Murari Gupta appeared in a place called as Silhet. I hope I am pronouncing it properly. Now this place was the appearance sthal, or the appearance place of many illustrious personalities in Chaitanya Lila, like Advaita Acharya, Shivananda Sen, Jagannath Mishra and Nilambar Chakravarti. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Lila 2.35. So Srila Murari Gupta also appeared in that particular sthal where all these eminent personalities were born. And he came to live in Navadvip, very close to the house of Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra is the father of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came very close to live near their residence. And he displayed extraordinary humility. He was a few years elder to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he had an intimate lifelong relationship with Lord Chaitanya. Now, they all used to study in the same Gurukul, and he was slightly senior to Lord Chaitanya in the class. But always, because Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya's name is also Nimai Pandit when he was in school. So Nimai Pandit is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whenever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to debate on Shastras, nobody could stand in front of him. So Murari Gupta always used to lose debate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes, they used to enter into heated arguments also over the Shastras like that. Of course, Mahaprabhu always used to win, but Murari Gupta, he used to display the symptom of, getting upset with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they used to sometimes have heated argument. In one such heated argument, they started pushing one another and slinging one another. And in that situation, they went to the banks of the Ganges. And in this pushing and shoving one another, so much dust was there on the banks, it is mentioned, that the ladies who were filling up their water pots could not even see their water pots. There was so much mud because of them pushing one another. It's actually it's very difficult to imagine. But Shastra has mentioned this very nicely. And then the Brahmanas who had come there to take bath, they all got dirty with the mud. Or rather you can say purified with that mud. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was studying in the school of Gangadas Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always used to stand first in class. So Murari Gupta never accepted defeat from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The other people in the class, they used to accept, okay, Mahaprabhu, we are defeated. But Murari Gupta never accepted defeat from the Lord. Okay. So Nimai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes used to get angry at Murari Gupta. And later on, when Murari Gupta came from a profession, came from a family of Ayurvedic doctors. And then he was himself a doctor in profession. So sometimes Nimai Pandit used to get angry at him and say, "You doctor, what is the use of studying Vedas? Your job is to collect creepers and leaves to heal the sick people. By understanding the science of the Vedas, by this grammatical science which is very complex, you can derive no help in dealing with mucus, bile and dyspepsia." This is how Mahaprabhu used to taunt Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta used to feel very pricked and angry. Sometimes he will not exhibit this anger. But he used to internally love this. He used to simply gaze at the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu used to tell him all this, he used to actually feel very pleased internally. And he also got this small feeling that this person who is so sound in grammar, he can be none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has to be some divine personality. Otherwise, you cannot defeat every single argument of the Shastras like this. Srila Murari Gupta was a very active member in all the night kirtans which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to perform in Srivas Sangam. And he used to please Lord Gauranga with melodious chanting of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He himself was a very expert singer and dancer who served Lord Chaitanya in all his leelas in the land of Navadvip.
Now when Lord Chaitanya returned from Gaya and began to manifest the divine symptoms of ecstatic love, then Srila Murari Gupta became intensely devoted to him by seeing this ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya. There is one very interesting pastime I'll share with you. Once Lord Chaitanya suddenly arrived in the house of Murari Gupta and roared in the mood of Varahadev. You know, Varahadev is one of the incarnations of the Lord, the boar incarnation, where the Lord picked up the earth on his tusks, right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the house of Murari Gupta and roaring in the mood of Varahadev, picked up a water pot in his teeth. And seeing this divine form of the Lord, Murari Gupta paid full dandavat pranams to the Lord and he was dumbstruck with wonder at this divine form. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him this form, he started talking to Murari Gupta. He said, "Murari, just sing some hymns in my praise." Mahaprabhu is telling him, "Just sing some hymns in my praise." And after Murari Gupta started singing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. He said, "Murari, I am just speaking this truth to you. I am the essence of all scriptures. I have come to engage this world in Harinam Sankirtan myself. And I have come to induce others also to chant my holy names. Murari, I cannot tolerate malice towards my devotees. And even if my son does that, I will tear his head." To prove this, he gave the pastime of Narakasura. So he spoke, he revealed to Murari Gupta that I, Lord Chaitanya, is none other than Vrajendra Nandana Krishna. And thus Lord Chaitanya said so many secret things about himself to Murari Gupta and returned home. There is another interesting pastime. Lord Krishna once wanted to test the devotion of Murari Gupta. So Murari Gupta was a devotee of Lord Ramchandra. He was not a Krishna devotee. He was a devotee of Lord Ram. And he was a very fixed devotee of Lord Ram. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once went to his house and started preaching to him deliberately the sweetness of Vrajendra Nandana Krishna. And he said, "There is nothing, dear Murari, greater than Krishna worship. Murari, just worship Krishna and take shelter of him. Nothing but his service can satisfy the mind." No, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna in the mood of Radharani, coming and telling that you must worship Vrajendra Krishna, Murari Gupta became slightly inclined towards worship of Lord Krishna. But as he was having this inclination, the thought of losing the worship of Lord Ramchandra was also playing in his mind, and that thought completely devastated him. So that night, he prayed to Lord Ram. Murari Gupta prayed to Lord Ram, "Oh dear Lord Ram, I cannot live in this confusion. So please take away my life. This dilemma that I am in, that I cannot stop serving your lotus feet, dear Lord Ram, but at the same time, I cannot also disobey the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So after crying all night like this, he approached Lord Chaitanya the next day and said, "What should I do? My dear Lord Chaitanya, what should I do? I have sold my head and my heart to the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra." Then smiling, Lord Chaitanya replied to him, "You are so fixed up that even after my request, you could not change your mind. This is exactly the type of love and affection that a servitor must have for the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if the Lord wants separation, a devotee cannot abandon shelter of his lotus feet. Just to test your firm faith, I repeatedly asked you to change your worship." Then congratulating him, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that moment revealed to Murari Gupta his eternal constitutional position as Hanuman. So Srila Murari Gupta is none other than the Hanumanji. And soon thereafter, he showed his own form as Lord Ramchandra. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his form as Lord Ramchandra along with his consorts Janaki and Lakshman. Ram, Lakshman, Janaki, Jai Bolo Hanumanaki. And he showed that there were a host of monkeys surrounding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one out of that monkey was Murari Gupta himself in the form of Hanuman. And when Murari Gupta saw himself as Lord Hanuman in that leela, he fainted on the spot.
This is one pastime.
Another small pastime is Lord Chaitanya once.
Murari Gupta came and paid obeisances. Lord Chaitanya was sitting and Lord Nityananda was sitting next to him. And Murari Gupta paid first obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya was not very pleased with that. So in the dream that night, Murari Gupta saw that Lord Nityananda appeared in the dream. And then suddenly the form of Lord Nityananda manifested, you know, with lot of snakes, the Ananta Shesha form. So by this pastime, Lord Nityananda revealed to Murari Gupta that I am none other than Balaram, I am none other than Ananta Shesh. And then immediately after that, Murari Gupta fell down at the feet of Lord Nityananda. And as soon as he fell down at the feet of Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So by this pastime, Lord Chaitanya teaches all of us, which he enacted through Murari Gupta, he teaches all of us that without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we cannot have the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he taught that. One day in Shriva Sangan, in the house of Shriva's Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit was sitting and offering betel nuts to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was sitting on a beautiful asan and Gadadhar Pandit was offering betel nuts and Narahari Sarkar was fanning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Murari Gupta entered and paid obeisances, Lord Mahaprabhu took the betel nuts which he was chewing from his mouth and gave the remnants to Murari Gupta. And Mahaprabhu said, my offal, offal in English is, in Hindi is called a jhuta. My offal, I am giving it to you. And then Murari Gupta told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he received that remnants and he said, my lord, today I am purified. Your offal can never be contaminating. It can only be purifying. And today, by your mercy, I have got your remnants. And as soon as he put that offal, that betel nut inside his mouth, divine ecstatic symptoms started manifesting in his body. And in the same divine ecstasy, he started walking towards his house. And when he went to his house, his wife opened the door. Murari Gupta went inside. He sat down and his wife put a leaf in front of him and started serving him prasadam. She had cooked prasadam for him. And the prasadam was rice and ghee. Okay, so he started, you know, the moment he saw the rice and ghee, what she saw is that Murari Gupta is picking up the rice and ghee and he is keeping it outside the plate. And he is saying, please take it, please eat, please eat. So he took another morsel, kept it outside, said, please eat, please eat. So initially she could not understand what was happening, why he is doing this. But later on she could understand that he is actually in his ecstatic symptom and he is feeding Lord Gauranga. So he is taking everything and then feeding it to Lord Gauranga. So this pastime happened. But the next day morning something interesting happened. When Murari Gupta opened the door, he had a visitor to his house. And who was that visitor? It was none other than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what have you fed me? Why have you fed me so much of ghee and rice yesterday? Because of eating all that, I have got a stomach upset now and therefore I have come to see you as the doctor. Please give me a medicine. So this is a very beautiful pastime of between Murari Gupta and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Murari Gupta had a dagger in his house. As I said earlier, Murari Gupta was so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he wanted to leave his body in the presence of Lord Chaitanya. And he was afraid that, you know, he may not get that mercy. So he always used to keep a dagger in his house. And this dagger he had hidden behind some shelf in his house. So that he can eventually end his life in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was his desire. Okay. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Paramatma, super soul within all our hearts. So he understands what is the desire of Murari Gupta. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in front of Murari Gupta and said, Murari Gupta, I know that you have fashioned a dagger and you have hid it inside your house. I have many pastimes to do with you. If you go away, how will I implement all those pastimes? I know everything. So Lord Chaitanya discouraged him from using that dagger. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in Katwa, it is mentioned that Murari Gupta wept like a child. And when eventually Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri, Murari Gupta used to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every year in Puri with elaborate offerings of bhoga for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was his love. And out of his love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Murari Gupta wrote the first biography of Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, which is called as Sri Chaitanya Mahakavya. The first biography was written by him. The Gaudiya Matha, which was established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the memory of Murari Gupta Thakur,
has established a samadhi for him, which is in Ballal Dighi in Srila Mayapur. Srila Murari Gupta ki jai.
Thank you very much for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Some of you have already gone to sleep, I think.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vyasa Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.